Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Former U.S. Attorney General Griffin Bell is going to Nicaragua to defend the American survivor of that shadowy Contra-rebel supply mission, who next Monday faces a people's tribunal and a possible 30-year jail term. From Managua, John Sisloff reports.
Imprisoned American Eugene Hassenfuss has already made headlines with what he has told the press and his Sandinista captors about American efforts to supply Contra-rebels fighting the government here. Hassenfuss claims he was one of dozens of Americans aiding that effort. That is, till his plane, laden with guns, was shot out of the sky. Hassenfuss survived by parachuting. Two other Americans died. More claims are sure to come out in the trial about the part the U.S. government played in supplying the Contras. Government officials admit the trial will be a show trial, but say it will be a fair trial as well. But the U.S. Embassy says no one gets a fair trial in the People's Tribunals, where the conviction rate is over 90%. John Sisloff for CBS News, Managua.
A Senate resolution meant to force President Reagan to disclose any U.S. government links to that downed rebel cargo plane fell three votes short of passage. Iowa Democrat Tom Harkin, who sponsored the measure, denied Republican charges he was being mischievous. Darn it, said Harkin, someone broke the law and we ought to hold them accountable. Israel lost a fighter bomber during a Lebanon air raid yesterday. One crewman was quickly rescued, but as Don McNeil reports, there are conflicting accounts about the fate of the second airman.
The deputy commander of UNIFIL, the United Nations forces in Lebanon, has reportedly told the Israeli Defense Ministry that the airman is dead. But a spokesman for Amal militia leader, Nabi Berri, said the man was captured, that he had a broken arm, but otherwise he was well. Using helicopter gunships, the Israelis carried out a daring rescue operation, in which one of the two crewmen of the downed jet was picked up and carried safely to Israel. Sources here say the Israelis debated as to whether or not they should go into Lebanon in force, seal off the area, and search until the airman was found dead or alive. A choice was made, sources said, to keep force levels to a minimum, a key consideration being not to unduly antagonize the Amal militia and turn the search into a military occupation. Don McNeil, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
Israel's Prime Minister-in-waiting Yitzhak Shamir presents his cabinet to the parliament on Monday. That should clear the way for his delayed job switch with Shimon Peres. The two men today signed an agreement clearing up disputes over cabinet appointments. Soviet dissident David Goldfarb did not expect to be a free man in America this morning, but he is. The story from correspondent Richard Roth.
The ailing scientist called his release a miracle, and with his son translating, David Goldfarb said his joy was tempered only by the regret he felt leaving his daughter and her family behind.
And I hope that with regard to my daughter and to my granddaughters, the same principles of humanism that resulted in my being here now will prevail and they will join me here in the United States.
American industrialist Armand Hammer, the man who arranged Goldfarb's sudden release, described the negotiations matter-of-factly. A pair of phone calls made to former Soviet envoy to Washington, Anatoly Dobrynin, and Hammer's refusal to take no for an answer.
I said, I'm accustomed to doing the impossible. So he, 2 hours later, he called me and he said, permission granted. I think without Mr. Gorbachev's okay, this couldn't have happened.
Goldfarb was taken to a New York hospital for treatment of diabetes and a heart condition. Hammer called the release a good omen, predicting that if Soviet-American relations improve, other Soviet Jews would be permitted to leave. Richard Roth, CBS News, New York.
Five Russian soldiers may soon have a new home in the United States. They defected to the rebel side in Afghanistan, and the New York Times reports today they've written to President Reagan to ask for asylum. At Detroit's Metropolitan Airport last night, a warm welcome for American immigrant Peter Avesai, who returned home after being released from jail in Yugoslavia. 9 days ago, he received a 7-year prison term for taking part in U.S. protest against the Yugoslav government. But after complaints from the Reagan administration, Avesai was sent home. He says he's grateful.
You have saved the life of your adopted son. Thank you very much. Thank you, America. I love you forever.
I love you too.
Well-wishers carried a Vasai across the airport terminal on their shoulders. Only in America, the United States Congress has yet to approve $560 billion to keep the government solvent. And it all centers now on a little jet trainer that the Air Force and Senator Goldwater want to kill, but which New York's delegation is trying to keep alive to protect jobs. Because of that flap, Majority Leader Bob Dole says the government will start shutting down today.
As I understand it, non-essential government employees will be notified at noon unless there's some resolution of the pending Goldwater amendment.
This is Ike Pappas on Capitol Hill.
Before going home, Congress must wrestle with such heavyweight items as trimming the budget to meet deficit reduction targets and extending the national borrowing power. But a couple of other time-consuming problems have come up. New York Senator Alphonse D'Amato filibustered to save an Air Force jet fighter built largely in his state.
There were those who would say to me, you are being partisan. You are being parochial. This company is located in New York.
The frustration is starting to show. House Minority Whip Trent Lott.
I ask unanimous consent to address the House for 1 minute so that the members may have some idea of when the 99th Congress will be freed at last. Are we going to finish? Ever?
Others found another way to express their displeasure. They are wearing buttons which plead free the 99th Congress. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
If it clears away the budget thicket, the Senate could act today on the House-passed immigration bill. But Texas Republican Phil Graham is fighting hard against the provision which grants amnesty to millions of illegal immigrants. In the Philippines, President Corazon Aquino met secretly with rebel leaders to discuss a ceasefire today, both sides saying later that the rebels were open to the idea. The International Olympic Committee today made two cities very happy and disappointed 11 others. From Lausanne, Switzerland, Bill Redeker reports.
As expected, Barcelona, Spain, and Albertville, France were selected as the sites for the 1992 Summer and Winter Olympics. Both cities have been favored over the other 11 contenders, and both spent heavily convincing the International Olympic Committee. For the winners, Olympic gold that may be worth hundreds of millions of dollars in television royalties and advertising. So fierce was the competition here this year that experts estimate more than $100 million was spent by the contenders. The delegates here were wined and dined. Their wives were taken on shopping sprees. First-class airline tickets were given freely away. But now the two cities that have been chosen will have to spend their money on preparing Olympic facilities, housing, and transportation. As one organizer admitted, amateur athletics have become big business. Bill Redeker, CBS News, Lausanne, Switzerland.
New housing construction was way off in September. The Commerce Department reports this morning there was a 7.6% drop from housing activity in August. The U.S. dollar is mixed in European trading this morning, and gold took a nosedive today. The morning fixing in London was $420 an ounce. That's nearly $6 below yesterday's closing price. On Wall Street to this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is off over 3 points at 1833.10. New York Stock Exchange volume so far today, 15.5 million shares. Time on the World News Roundup coming up on 10 minutes past 7.